Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Here we go, JV. Hooray! 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 They're going to beat the Bengals. Hooray! 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 They're going to beat the Bengals. No!
Fuck you. We like the Bengals. Starts now.
And we're back, baby!
Season finale.
Oops, we did it again. We played with no heart. We lost in the game. Oh, baby, baby, oops. The Browns are in love. Thought he sent from above.
Deshaun's not that innocent. And welcome back to
Fuck You.
We what like you Bengals. Into? I'm your host, Alex Schubert. Look, nah, I don't want to do that. Welcome back to
Fuck You. We like the Bengals.
I'm your host, Alex Schubert. Sitting to my left today,
Lloyd Johnson.
And
Anthony Tank Banister from What You Into.
Dude, how are you?
Not bad, man. What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me back on the show.
Ain't shit. Lloyd, we actually, I found out some news about you. You and Breezy are no longer boyfriend or girlfriend.
Nope.
Can you tell us why that is?
We're engaged.
Yay! I wanted to start this episode off with the positive, because we're going to get to some negative stuff, but the positive stuff. Dude, congratulations.
Thank you.
So tell us how that went down.
So we had a show last Friday night at Chameleon. And I at the end of the show, when she was going up to say, hey, you know, thanks for everybody for coming, whatever, I Kanye'd her. I walked up and I grabbed her mic and I was going, I'll let you finish in a minute, but I got a question.
I'm breaking up with you to get to Beyonce.
Kanye is very dangerous thing to say in 2023.
Well, it's 2024, so he's off the hook.
But I forgot what I was about to say. I got Kanye'd her and then proposed and she said yes and cool.
That's fucking awesome.
So now,
man,
I have a Beyonce.
Oh. I almost wish you guys are no longer engaged after that Alex joke.
Hey, I thought you would appreciate that.
Yeah. How long did you have that prepared?
You just said something about the
Beyonce?
Yeah.
Shawty's my Beyonce. That's like old little Dirk.
It's my Beyonce.
Ooh, that's your Beyonce now? Mm-hmm. Do you guys, I mean, I know you guys like just got engaged and stuff, but like any wedding plans? Do you need a... Are you guys going to have a big wedding?
All being discussed. I have no idea.
You have no idea?
We're still kind of like discussing everything. It's very, very early stages.
Oh, yeah, because it literally happened last week?
Yeah.
Lloyd, you seem like the kind of guy who's really put a lot of thought into his wedding day. Is there some must-have happen things that you want for your big day?
Her to be happy.
Yep, that's the big one.
You guys are getting married, so I guarantee it'll happen.
But like, or I'll get stabbed. I'm not sure. I mean, it's
within the realm of possibility.
She's from Price Hill. I mean, she might cut me. That's a
possibility. Although I really do want you to bridezilla out on this thing. Like, I want you to really get into this and like get really into the flowers and the colors. You know, all the shit you're not going to be into. But in my mind, I just want to inverse Lloyd.
Yeah, I do too. But I'm not. Like, I'm excited that it's happening, but I don't have strong opinions about
anything,
fucking any of it. I just like, I mean, I got some opinions about that later that night. Like, I got some ideas about that.
It's gonna be your first time having sex.
I mean, maybe.
We'll see how she's feeling.
We'll see what it's classified as legally when I'm done.
Jesus Christ. I've never. So, like, I DJ weddings on the side because I'm a tool and. hypothetically, if I worked with you guys would be like the most chill people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just don't have strong opinions about things. I worry more about how like I'm going to feel. Like, I don't want a bunch of blinky lights. I don't want like a lot of super loud noises. The tism. Yep. I just want to not be like wildly uncomfortable, and I'm good.
Yeah.
You want an outdoor wedding just so you can smoke during the wedding?
Kind of.
Yeah. It's like Breezy and Lloyd are going to put down their cigarettes and read their vows.
Look, we got to keep this thing under 15 minutes because I got to have a dart before and after this thing. So yeah. Let's, you know, if you don't want me smoking inside, let's get this stepping.
Yeah.
But
Chop chop.
But dude, that's I'm glad you guys did that at a Pie and Violence show.
Yeah, it was fun.
And it sounds like so Breezy, I assume, was completely caught off guard.
Yeah. So I didn't tell anybody shit because I just don't trust people like that.
True.
Yeah.
It's true.
Like, the only person who knew ahead of time was Lily because I raised her, and that girl would say shit if she had a mouthful of it. You know?
I didn't even know. Mm.
Yeah, my brother didn't know until I literally handed him the ring that night at the show.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Like, we bring this up on stage, and he was just looking at me like eyes got all big, and he went to like hug me, and I was like,
we don't do that.
Guarantee you, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, I know. That's.
Would you have? Because I was in Nashville that night. Would you have shown me?
Probably. Like, I told her friend, like, when her friend first got to Chameleon, just Kayla, who is a good friend of Breezy. So I told her right when she got there because I knew she would be like.
I think her and I would get along really well. But no, that's fucking awesome, man. And it all worked out. Tank, how have you been?
I'm doing good, man. Chilling. Well, I'm happy 2023 is over. I ended the year with my wife getting breast reduction surgery, my dog getting a back surgery. I had COVID.
And thank God you didn't mix those surgeries up.
Right? A lot of problems. And then I got hacked on Facebook and lost my and got all my credit cards stolen. So yeah.
No.
Man, yeah, it's okay. I got taken care
of. How the fuck did that happen?
Well, I got some theories.
Fair. So also you have your own podcast. I've been a guest on a couple times.
You have, yep. You've been there. Lloyd's been there.
I don't remember that.
Are you blacking out my podcast? You're just like, you know what? That's a time in my life I don't like to think about.
No, I've just bruised the peach too many times.
Fair enough.
Was that before or after you decided to co-host a podcast with me?
I don't remember.
So your podcast is What You Into?
What You Into, man. Yeah, we talk about hobbies, collections, and fandoms.
Hell yeah.
So 150 episodes deep right now, getting ready to drop 151 this Sunday about fantasy football. So,
hey,
if you're into this podcast, you're probably in mine.
It's a very good podcast. I actually do remember being on it. I enjoyed it a lot. I'm just being a silly goose.
Who did the fantasy football one?
My brother-in-law. I did it with him when I was in Pennsylvania last week for Christmas.
That fucking rules, man.
Yeah.
Did you win any leagues this year?
Fuck no, dude. I barely kept from being last in my league. I just got destroyed this season. It was one of those deals where like every week somebody would have like an ultra huge game, or I would end up starting the wrong quarterback. It was I took Justin Jefferson with the first pick in the draft.
I did. Yep.
Like, it was just a whole series of unfortunate events that transpired over the course of the regular NFL season for me in fantasy.
Dude, so Lloyd, I know you don't play, so
yeah, not anymore.
Me and Tank, have you heard Lloyd's story about why he doesn't play anymore?
You don't like rooting against the Bengals?
No, so I had like seven leagues going one year.
Oh yeah, that happens.
And I think it was maybe like Santonio Holmes or someone. Like I needed them to score, and I just saw the ticker come across and he scored, and I got excited that he scored. And I was like, nope, I'm out. I'm done.
Yep.
Absolutely not.
Which is fair.
It definitely makes you feel bad sometimes. Like when you start picking up people off teams that you don't like, and then you're invested in them doing good, it's just like, what am I doing this for, man? This feels terrible right now.
Weirdly enough, like right now, like the main team that has like good fantasy players are the Bengals. It's really weird. Like, I mean the Browns have Flacco right now, but the Steelers don't really have anybody. The Browns or the Ravens have Lamar and Mark Andrews when he's healthy.
Zay Flowers.
Zay Flowers is fine.
Yeah.
But Zay can also really underwhelm some games.
Yeah. But what a good pickup if you got him in this first year and you got a keeper league where you get a keeper. You know, I'm kind of rolling the dice right now with that, with both Jordan Love and starting quarterback for the Colts that went out.
Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson. I scooped both those guys up this year. So hopefully in the future, something good will happen. But yeah, man, it's been a rough season for quarterbacks in the NFL.
It's like if you drafted, like, there were like, even if you drafted Mahomes, who was fully healthy this year. And I did. This is like, so like there, I have like a sort of a list of players who I've like going into this year that I had never had in fantasy football that I really wanted to have this year. And Mahomes was on that list. Mm-hmm. And I drafted him second round. I got Kelsey first round over Tyreek. What a mistake. And I was just so excited to have that stack. And I just got fucked the entire year.
How do you guys feel about the Chiefs right now? Are you liking the implosion of the Chiefs?
we'll get to how good of a game they had last week later on.
Okay.
But I still think Patrick Mahomes is capable of anything.
He's good.
He's incredible. And I'm sorry if you have to hear that on a Bengals podcast. You'd be like, no, he's not. He's unbelievable. Mm. But he's had such a fucking dollar store core of receivers this year. Like Rashee Rice, and I mean Rashee Rice has been good, but like Sky Moore,
yeah, Kadarius Toney. Toney's just been awful.
MVS, who drops passes,
yeah,
like insane. But also, I will say this: I did win a league this year.
Oh,
and it was a $100 buy-in. So I had a goal last year that I was going to pay all of my rent and stand-up money for a month.
Okay.
And I'm proud to say that January 2024, I paid it all in fantasy football money.
Well, one of your interests is paying off.
It is. One of my interests is paying off. Because I'll get to what Mikey said later, because I was at Bananas last night, and then it was like 2 minutes before showtime, and then I'm like, we're ready to start the show, and then Mike is like, it's 9:43. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't tell time. And then he said, you can't tell jokes either. And I'm like, you got me so good.
For real.
Forgot to turn my ringer off. But no, the league I had the $100 buy-in, I drafted Christian McCaffrey first round.
Nice.
Which, holy dick, that really paid off.
And that's a gamble, man, because not always the most
not always the safest
The safest pick, yeah. That dude definitely has had some injury history in the past, and yeah, you're really rolling the dice on taking him in a first round.
Yep. I mean, it was also a 2 QB league, so like I had the fifth pick.
Oh, nice.
And 2 quarterbacks went before McCaffrey was taken, and I ran to the podium to take McCaffrey. And my second pick ended the year as the number one receiver. So I'll take it.
Nice.
It was CeeDee Lamb.
Nice. Oh, shit. I had him on my team, too.
Yeah, dude. He was insane.
Yeah, making points.
But, yeah, so I looked. I was like, 700 for the first prize, 200 for the second prize, and 100 for third. And I was in the finals, and I was like, my opponent's team is really fucking good. So I'm like, I'm worried I'm not going to beat him. And I thought about messaging like, hey, can we do 600, 300, 100? And I'm like, and I didn't do that at all. But then I messaged the commissioner. And I was like, hey, I won the league. Can I get my 700? And they're like, oh, yeah, we decided that we're giving 800 to first prize. So I'm like, let's go.
Good job.
Thank you.
Dude, Shoops. Nice work.
I was really happy with that. Most of my other leagues, I stunk. But luckily... Dude, okay, so with fantasy football, how many leagues did you play this year?
One.
So I'm going to try and organize this next year. I tried to do it this year, but I couldn't. You ever played a guillotine league?
No, what's that?
It is my favorite. It's one of my favorite concepts. It is everybody plays everybody. The lowest scoring team in each week is eliminated from the league.
Oh, that's cool.
And all of that team's players go on free agency, and you bid on those players.
Cool, man.
It's sick as shit.
I like this idea.
And you get $1,000 budget for the year.
Nice.
Nice.
But, yeah, so I know you're not much of a fantasy guy, so.
But maybe I'll try it again.
Yeah. I nerded out a little bit. Maybe, well, if you don't want to, you don't have to. But, yeah, I was also going to say I was at Bananas last night, and I told Lloyd that Tom Brenneman, former Reds broadcaster, was there.
What the hell was Tom Brenneman doing at Go Bananas?
He was just out with his buddies.
Just chilling?
He was just out with his friends. And so I actually have ties to Tom, where my mom went to high school with him.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you both went to the island together.
So, Tank, did you go to the island ever?
The fifth?
Oh, the fifth?
Yeah.
Plead the fifth.
Yeah. Oh, plead the fifth? Oh, okay.
Of all the amendments, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, fifth.
The fifth. Lloyd?
What?
Did you go?
To the island?
Yes.
No, I don't like sand.
Yeah, actually, Lloyd's now my attorney, and I'm answering that as well.
Okay.
Because fuck beaches, dude.
Yeah. Dude, I saw a bit yesterday about how Stephen Hawking was on Epstein's list.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. And then there's this guy, Jake Silberman. He had a bit where he said, like, he's got to be the best guest of honor for Epstein at his island. Because the kids are like, thank God I'm off this week. The NFL, we call that a bye week.
Nice.
It was very good. I didn't do it justice, but it was very good. But yeah, Brenneman was there last night, and I got to tell him, like, hey, my mom grew up with your sister, and he was, I mean, after all the fucking controversy he had with him saying that thing on the hot mic, he was, his group was a little loud at times, but Brenneman himself was very nice.
Nice.
I would not have known who he was, so.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that you worked last night. And
I mean, I knew instantly.
Yeah.
But it worked itself out. And Lloyd, you actually had a procedure this week.
Yeah, they did a nerve ablation in my lower back. So they stuck 6 giant needles in and put in chemicals to burn out all the nerves in my lower back.
And so what's the healing process going to be like?
It's very kind of up in the air for everybody. Kind of has different, like, I was reading about it. Some people say it takes like 10 weeks for it to be normal. Some people are like, I was fine a couple days. I can tell you it hurts like a motherfucker.
Oh, I bet.
It still does right now.
Yeah.
So
wait, like, once this thing heals, can you feel shit in your back after, or your lower back just be like permanently numb?
Well, they just got it's certain ones. It's certain.
Okay.
Certain new nerve groupings that they, burn out, so it's not like everything's numb, but it's just the ones that were causing the biggest problem, because there's not really any fixing what's wrong with my shit, so mm-hmm. It's kind of more just like there's no reason for you to just be in that much pain all the time.
Yeah,
so hopefully this will help.
It's gonna make it like worse before it's like you have to make it worse for a bit, but then it's gonna heal and get, and your body's gonna adjust and it's gonna get better over time.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, if I seem a little low energy or whatever this week, it's I'm in a bunch of pain.
Because you're fresh off an operation from yesterday.
Yeah. I got a bunch of fucking big needles shoved in my back, and I'm in a kind of pissed off mood.
Yeah, so.
I remember when I had an operation. I don't know if you knew me at this time, Lloyd, but I had an operation when I was in college where I had my jaw operated on because I had an underbite.
Oh.
So they broke my upper jaw and moved it forward. Sorry if that's graphic, listeners. But I had to wear braces for a whole fucking year in college.
Ooh.
That tracks.
And you are not wrong. And I, so like when I had the operation, like I was on pills for a while, and when I would laugh or smile, it hurt so bad. Mm-hmm. And I went to Go Bananas like soon after I had the operation. I'm just like, why did I do that? This hurts. Like, it literally hurt to laugh, and it hurt. I'm just like, is it going to be like this forever? Thankfully, it lasted only like a couple weeks or so, but I was fine. I remember one time we were all hanging at McLeavy's, which is now the Bell and the MILF shop, and it really is, dude.
Well, the upside-down pineapple will tell you something.
It's nuts there. I barely go there anymore. But, I mean, they do what they do, but it's not my thing anymore.
Swinging in the rain, just swinging in the rain,
bro. The whole complex of Go Bananas is so wild. It's in like one of the ritziest parts of town, but yeah, it's behind a car dealership and it's shady as shit back there.
Dude, it's like it's everything is so juxtaposed back there. I love when I get to use that word. Everything is so juxtaposed. It's like it's an Indian restaurant. It's a comedy club. It's a fucking swingers bar,
and then a really good like high end Japanese restaurant. Pacific Kitchen's over there. Yeah. There's a little dance studio in there.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a hair salon. There's a dog grooming place. It's just, It's chaos, and I love it.
Yeah, and the wood line there looks like something is either somebody's buried back there, or at the very least, there's a homeless encampment. Like, it's a really...
It's a walking trail.
The homeless encampment is called the landscaper. The landscapers at Go Bananas.
some you know, or the random guy who sleeps on the couch upstairs.
Yeah, you're not lying.
Yeah, it's a weird spot, man. Hands down, one of the weirdest spots. But
I love it.
I love it because it is just, it's that. It's just such an oddball spot. It's not like seeing comedy in a fucking mall somewhere. It's like, it's a really cool part of town.
Yeah.
Man, I've done enough Funny Bones. I've done enough. What other clubs are in malls? Like, I think Helium is, I like Helium, but like, that's kind of a mall club now. Mm. But like, Go Bananas, it's so unique, and the location's so unique. But I remember, like, Tommy Chong was at Bananas forever ago, and his headshot was like, great place if you can find it.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. When was the last time you've been to Go Bananas, Anthony?
Oh, man, it was, I came for the Sunday night Sam Talent show.
That's right.
Yeah, man. Talent was great. It was so cool to finally get to see him live, and he crushed.
He's just a fucking super fun dude, too.
Yeah, he really is. And you came to the Matt McCusker show, too.
I came to McCusker. That was fun. That was a good time.
Yeah, dude. And, like, every show was sold out.
Was it?
Every single show for Matt McCusker was. You remember that weekend, right?
Yep.
Every single show was sold out.
I mean, they're, like, what, the number one show on Patreon right now? So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. And I didn't really listen to Matt and Shane's Secret Podcast, but I was just like, oh, Matt McCusker, just another headliner. But then he just fucking murdered at Go Bananas.
Mm-hmm.
He was so good.
Yeah, that place is great, man. It's hands down my favorite spot to go see comedy at.
It's like there are like a list of like probably 10 clubs or like one of the best clubs in America. Mm-hmm. And like legit on a sold out show, write comics, Go Bananas is like in that top tier.
Yeah, for sure.
Is it tomorrow night Ran So Far with Blake?
Yeah.
Where they're doing the live show?
Yeah.
I might have to come out for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm probably staying in tonight, but because I'm tired from the 3 year anniversary, you know.
Oh, how was that?
The 3 year anniversary of January 6th. It was just like really good and
that magical day.
Yeah, that magical day, dude. I forget who I was talking to, it was on New Year's. I was like, man, the 2 year anniversary of January 6th is coming up, and I was like, wait, no, it's the 3 year anniversary. Shit, time's flying.
Just a nice little insurrection here and there.
I will say, so I say this, none of us were there. What were your reactions to that day?
It kind of reminded me of like watching 9/11 again during it. Because I was like, oh, fuck, I'm living history right now. Like, this is weird.
Yeah.
I was legit waiting for the cops to start firing.
Yeah.
But then I realized it was all white people, so...
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. Then you got to be like, hey, come on, guys. Let me use the mace.
Yeah. Let me give you a strongly worded reprimand.
Yeah. You can probably afford an attorney.
The cops will never fire on Antifa.
Yeah.
We're a football podcast,
yeah,
right?
Footballs. Balls.
Sorry, we kind of got... We got kind of off topic, and that's my fault. Anthony's just fucking losing it right now.
Fucking, all right, man.
I'm so sorry.
What happened last week?
Last week I did buy a cake for the January 6th thing just to celebrate the anniversary. But also, we might have to cut that last line. But the Bengals couldn't pull it off. Why am I saying that while laughing?
Oh, because it was laughable.
It really was. It started off great. Did you watch the game, Anthony?
I did, man. I did. Yeah.
It started off 17-7 and then 6 three-pointers from Harrison. Abortion is murder, Butker.
Fucking dork.
Yeah. He kicked 6. I mean, he went 6-for-6 on field goals, all unanswered. It just seems like the Bengals they literally had no offense after... they got fucked by Mixon.
Yeah.
By that 4th-and-1 call.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a rough time right now for the Bengals. I've been impressed with what they've been able to do with what they have right now.
I agree.
You know, I mean, I do agree with Chase. I'm always open. And, you know, I mean, I think as long as you got him on the field, you got a chance. Mixon doing really good this season. I think Mixon is a really competent back.
He's really reliable.
He does some good stuff. I think for me, the hardest thing is just Higgins is just so in and out this season, and I just don't know what you can do with that.
A couple of my buddies were talking in our Hootay group chat. Is it, and I want, Lloyd, I want your take too, and Tank as well. Is it smart for the Bengals to invest in T. Higgins long term?
It's I don't know. That's a hard call, and I guess without knowing more about like how his attitude is and how he's feeling about things, and you know what I mean, like you're not there every day to see it. So I kind of could see it going either way. If he's very into it and whatever, then yeah, I could see taking the the chance on, you know, putting some money behind him if he's going to be into it and wants to be here and wants to play. But also, yeah, that's where it's hard. It's hard for me to have an answer to that because I feel like I don't know enough to answer that.
Yeah,
Tank, what do you think?
It feels complex to me. I think you got a situation where no matter what, Chase is always going to be number one, and he's got that bond with Burrow that they've been together for so long, like that's never going to go anywhere. And if it push comes to shove, it's like, hey, do we keep Chase or do we keep Higgins? It's always going to be Chase. And so yep. It's just like, if you're Higgins, it's like, all right, do I stay here and be the second banana on a team that when healthy is competitive for the playoffs every year, or do I want to go get the bag somewhere else and be the number one receiver for some other team? And I think that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to be, is Higgins willing to play in a lesser role with less notice on him and less stats and touchdowns and everything else that comes with it to stay on a team where he is in the mix to go to playoffs, to go to a Super Bowl, to possibly win a Super Bowl, you know, for the next 5 years? Or does he take the chance and go and get on somebody else's team and see what he can hook up? I don't know.
He is. I mean, he definitely has the ability to be a number one receiver. Like, I think of, like, the top three wide receiver duos in the league right now. I mean, I'm going into this year and the end of the year, I kind of believe it's the same. Dolphins, Eagles, Bengals. Because yep. Dolphins have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Yep. Eagles have Brown and Smith. And the Bengals have Chase and Higgins.
Yep.
And with Higgins, like Higgins is the closest of those three to the bag. Mm-hmm. And I fully believe that Higgins can get a bag somewhere.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But also with, if you lose Higgins, you are losing the sure thing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it seems like we're in an age where elite or even really good wide receivers are kind of a dime a dozen.
And I mean, there's you can see why they drafted some of the people they have, like Yoshivash and but like and
Charlie Jones.
Yeah, if Higgins doesn't stay, then you got, you know, guys who know the system and are capable receivers. So that's what I'm saying. It's very convoluted. It's very hard to guess which direction that'll go.
I don't see Yoshivash as a T. Higgins replacement. Like, if you want someone to replace T. Higgins, like, do you watch much college football?
I do.
So, like, I look at someone, and this is just a hypothetical, because I think, like, if you're the Bengals, you have to look at, like, the trenches for a first-round pick, or, like,
obviously.
Maybe, like, a not defensive back, because, like, I think, because you know about the communication issues the Bengals have had, I think a lot of that can be fixed with experience.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it's growing pains. So I think either invest in the offensive line, or, I mean, the only way I would draft a receiver in the first round is if you for sure lose T. Higgins.
Yeah.
For 100%. Yeah. And a guy I look at, I don't know if we can get him, but Rome Odunze out of Washington. They're like the same. Mm-hmm. They're like tall, like a tall dude, possession receiver, but also Odunze is pretty fast too. Mm-hmm. But it's it doesn't thrill me to lose T. Higgins, because I know Lou Anarumo was like, yeah, we want to keep DJ Reader.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it would not throw me to lose Higgins, but I get why we might have to. Lloyd, what do you think?
Yeah, I understand. There's so many good guys, so many good talent. Like, we're going to have to pay, you know, they have to look forward to trying to keep Hendrickson and, you know, all of these people that you don't want to lose. So, yeah, someone's going to have to get.
Yeah. And one of those guys last year was Jesse Bates.
Yeah.
And that was losing Bates and Bell
sucked.
Really hurt.
Yeah, I really thought they should have courted Bell a little bit more. He didn't leave for that much more than...
That's the tough part of the NFL, man, with the salary cap and how competitive everything is. And, you know, you try to keep a good core, stable group of dudes together. I mean, you got to figure out, like, who are those people that we can't lose? And then who's the guys that maybe we can replace them with somebody else? And we can save a little money on this and bring this guy in for that. And it's a tough house of cards to keep up year to year.
Like, the Bengals went from Jesse Bates to Nick Scott going into the year. And yeah. Nick Scott was awful this year.
He did not. Did not live up to expectations.
It literally went from, like, one of the best safeties in the league to literally, according to PFF, the literal worst.
Yeah, that was not great. And but some of the guys that stepped up, I mean, did play really well.
Like, I like Jordan Battle.
I do, too. And Battle's good. DJ Turner, I think he played great.
Yeah, and I think Dax Hill is good in flashes.
Which, again, can be fixed with experience.
Because this is Dax Hill's first full year as a starter at his natural position from college.
Right.
How do you guys feel about what part of the Bengals' success is Burrow and what part of it is Zach Taylor's coaching? Because I hear different sides of this depending on who I ask.
I think it's a mix of both. I mean, it's having a coach that understands what he has and how to use it, and it's a quarterback that understands the idea of there's going to be a culture and it's going to be done this way. And
yep.
I think it's those things mixing together. So I don't think it's one side or the other, which, I mean, almost nothing ever is just one thing. It's you know, it's comforting to be like, oh, this is what made something happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the easy reaction. But I think the reality is it's usually like things come together or they don't. You know what I mean? Like, and luckily, I think that, you know, like, Burrow isn't too big of an ego to be like, oh, this is the culture, this is how we're doing things. And Zach Taylor's not too, like, of that press controlling kind of thing to be like, all right, we can make some wiggle room in how we do some of this and let him be him kind of thing. So I think it's those things mixing together.
I also think, and this is just a joke / observation that literally just occurred to me, I think Zach Taylor is like if Mike McDaniel went to law school.
All right.
But it's like McDaniel's like he's a good coach, but like I think Zach Taylor is more of a culture guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Burrow is like, I hate you because I think this is like I also hate coded language. I'm going to have to form this thought on the spot. You ever hear, like, going into the draft when a quarterback is referred to as – I think I've told you this before. When a quarterback is referred to as a pro-ready quarterback,
yeah.
It's usually the scout's way of saying whitest quarterback.
Yes.
You know what I mean when I say that?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, this is something we talk about, me and the dudes from Craft Brewed Sports.
Love those dudes.
Is all the things you say about white guys that go in the NFL. So he's a gym rat. He's a film study guy, first in the building.
Coach on the field.
Yeah, coach on the field. Yeah, gritty. Oh, this guy's so gritty.
One of the things I saw in Defector was kind of guy you want your daughter dating.
Yeah, yeah. It's always that shit for white dudes.
Which, by the way, speaking of white dudes, did you see the guy who's visiting West Virginia?
Oh, Noah?
Yeah, Noah. Did you see this guy? His name was...
K...
His not.
Oh,
no,
yeah. That's right. Yeah, I did see that. Okay.
K-N-I-G-G-A.
Yeah, it's going to be fun for the announcers.
It's like, do we say it like night? Because that's kind of how it's spelled, but I don't think I can say this.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable with it.
Someone someone posted a video of like the correct pronunciation, and the K was extremely enunciated.
I bet. But luckily, white people have an easy time with Ks, usually in threes.
Yes. But
sorry.
what were we talking about before I got sidetracked?
We were doing stats.
Stats. Good diversion there. Jake Browning was 19 of 33 for 197 yards and a touchdown, which I believe was to Joe Mixon. 7 rushes, 32 yards and a touchdown. Mixon, 21 rushes, 65 yards. Just going to rattle off some receiver stats. And one thing we've commented Jake Browning on all year is his ability to spread the ball around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which he does very well. When Chase went down, I'm like, I'm not overly worried because, like, he throws the ball to fucking everyone.
Yep.
Chase, 3 of 41. Tanner Hudson, 3 of 38. I hope we have him in 2024.
Yeah.
Tyler Boyd, 2 of 29. Chase Brown, 2 for 23. I hope, like, they keep the Mixon Brown tandem going in 2024 because, like, shit, Brown is quick as fuck.
Yeah, when he gets a little more experience aware of how to make those breaks, he's he's going to be dangerous.
Like Drew Sample, 3-for-21, and T, 1-of-19. So I would say with Mixon and Brown, I think I've already talked about this, but I like with the Zeke and Pollard tandem, the moment Tony Pollard, who was the change of pace back, the moment he became the three down back, his progress, his
stats,
went his
down.
Stats went down,
fell off. Yeah,
yeah, his stats fell off a little bit. But like when he was the change of pace back, he was awesome.
I like that thunder and lightning back combination that a lot of NFL teams have gone to now, kind of more of a running back by committee. We're seeing that right now with the Browns, of course, after losing Chubb week two. You know, now you got like this weird tandem of like Ford
Go and Bearcats
and Pierre Strong popping in and Kareem Hunt as your touchdown guy. Like, you know, you're giving the ball on third and two situations or goal line situations, which makes sense, you know, as opposed to like giving it to Jerome Ford, who is a back you can get out of the backfield and, you know, run pass plays to.
Yeah. So I mentioned before the podcast, I have a Browns question for you.
What's up?
And this is not a bit. This is a real question.
Okay.
Do you want Joe Flacco to start next year?
Ooh.
Because the Browns are on the hook for what? Three or four? Is it three or four more years with Deshaun?
It's something ridiculous, and like next year is when it really kicks in hard.
Ugh.
You know what, man? If Falco's winning, I'm gonna go him because I mean the thing about it is like it's really hard to get on to want anything good to happen for Deshaun, but at the same time, if bad things happen to Deshaun, it's bad things are happening to the Browns. So it's just a real bad situation I don't like being in.
It's a catch 22.
Yeah, it's way easier for me to be like, you know.
Isn't that about how many catches he's thrown this year?
5-1. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, it's not
yeah,
good.
Yeah, with Deshaun, it's a catch 22 lawsuits.
Okay, that was good.
Yeah.
I liked it.
But yeah, man, it's been a lot easier to cheer, you know, for stuff when Falco's back there because it's just like, oh, man, like, this is great. Like,
I personally think Fox and Wolf are better than Falco, but.
Oh, shit, we got Star Fox jokes.
Yeah. But no, like Flacco came in and was just like absolutely like, I mean, granted he had his turnovers, but like he had more touchdowns in December than Kenny Pickett's had in his entire career.
Yeah, it's nice watching a quarterback who actually understands how to use his weapons. Like just the production that he's got out of Amari Cooper at this point is insane.
That one game was insane.
Yeah, like 265 yards or something like that. And just the stuff that like Amari Cooper is doing as a true wide receiver run with the crisp route running and the ability to like keep both toes in for sideline catch. It seems like every game you're seeing at least one or two catches out of him where he is just dotting the eye with his toes to get a big 20 yard catch.
He's a very good wide receiver one.
Yeah, he's nasty. He's by far my favorite dude that we got right now in our receiving core.
Oh, he's like it's not even a question.
Yeah,
who's your guys' wide receiver two? Elijah Moore?
Yeah, Elijah Moore.
He's fine.
He's okay. Again, I think it's trying to figure out what to do with him because at the beginning of the season, they want to do a bunch of gadgety shit with him where they want him to like do end around and stuff. It's like, man, just throw to this man in the open field. Just let him get out there and run some routes and shit and catch him over the middle. But quit trying to do all this shit with the speed. Like,
yeah.
We don't, you know. That's one thing with Kevin that I do get annoyed with sometimes with Stefanski is he can get a little too gimmicky and like, a little too much in terms of like, let's make this something so crazy they're never going to think it's going to happen. You know, I do think it is better when he's just letting his people go out there and work and just be football players.
Like with Zach Taylor, his play calling is either incredibly boring or so gimmicky that it backfires.
Yeah.
Like we've tried, like there was one time, I think the Bengals were playing the, maybe it might've been the Texans, but like, I forget when it was. But like they tried to run like they had Tanner Hudson try and throw it on third down instead of going. It was like third and one. They're like, "Hey Tanner, we're gonna do a trick play. We're gonna throw it in the end zone." And like the other team just saw it coming the whole way, and it was just doomed from the start.
Yeah,
like Tanner Hudson was like literally sacked once.
Yeah, I mean, he did. I understand the idea. I mean, the guy was a legit. Decent quarterback until he switched to tight end. So yeah. I mean
that happens all the time.
Yeah. So I mean I get the idea behind it, and there's times that I think you almost have to do that at times when you're playing a defense that seems like they're like if they have that idea like okay we got him, we know what we're doing, throwing weird shit at him. I think it's not, I don't think it's always meant to work as much as like, oh, they're willing to do this. So like you kind of get just, it's just to stall out the brains of the defense every once in a while.
Yeah.
You guys don't have any skin in this fight. So what, how do you guys feel about Flacco? Like as some other dude in the North, like how do you see him?
I just don't want to see any more shirts that say Wacko for Flacco. That's my, that is my strongest feeling.
Fair enough.
I was, when I was working at the zoo, I was sitting there eating lunch and I saw a whole family came in and it was like five of them. They all were wearing shirts that said Wacko for Flacco. And Wacko. I have never wanted to beat an adult to death with their child so bad in my fucking life.
All right. I'm with you on this.
So that's my feeling about it.
Like speaking from like a purely objective NFL standpoint, I think that Flacco, he's such a veteran presence that the Browns so badly needed.
Yeah, having an adult in the room is nice.
And Flacco, people forget, he has like...
Especially when Deshaun's around.
Yeah, for fucking right? real.
Deshaun, don't touch.
Don't stop it. Deshaun?
Deshaun?
No.
No.
One of my favorite...
Keep our hands to ourselves.
One of my favorite lines I saw from Wire Team Sucks was, I hope the Haslams gave our boy a massage gun to keep him out of trouble.
100%.
But, like, with Flacco, it's like, it's a huge veteran presence. People also forget, he has an unreal arm.
Yeah, he's got a very, very good...
Thing's a howitzer. It's insane. Like, it's insane how far he can throw the ball. It's also incredibly... impressive how fast he can throw that damn thing.
Yeah,
when it's out, it's out.
So one thing I think I've told
just like with Deshaun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry,
no, no, no. Please.
No, I mean if we're gonna tee him up,
yeah,
dude, you're gonna crank him.
One thing I
just like Deshaun.
Boo! That's how you podcast.
Yeah.
One thing I don't make fun of on this podcast, and I've told Lloyd this, I don't make fun of players for being old.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're a, like, Flacco's, what, 38?
It's insane.
If you're a guy, if you're a 38-year-old man.
Yeah.
Who is in the NFL. With a bunch of dudes in their mid-20s, peak physical condition, you're just like, hey, how's it going, kids? Dude, I can't make fun of you for that. That's nuts.
I mean, I can.
Yeah.
I'm not going to. Like, if you're on an NFL roster at, like, 37, 38, dude, that's nuts.
Yeah, I just cannot imagine being him right now, like dropping back in the pocket, having come off your couch in what, like mid-November,
yeah,
and you're just going through progression reads and shit, and, you know, the middle of December in Cleveland in front of 45,000 screaming fans. It's just like, what the fuck, man?
Well, but that's not, you're thinking as if, like, that's not new to him.
I know. That's what you do if you're Joe Flacco.
Like, he was in Denver. He was in New Brunswick with the Jets.
Yep.
Who else was he with? Was he with anyone else?
Well, I mean, forever with the
Ravens,
with
of
the
course.
Ravens, of course. Yeah, and then he fell into that role of being like a backup dude that just every year would pop up on a different team around the NFL and just kind of, you know, just kind of float out there and somebody grab him. And then this is the first year where it didn't happen, and then this year. Man, do you guys think this is going to be something we're going to see continue in the future? Is this like epidemic of quarterbacks getting destroyed?
So I have a weird thought that it needs more research, but I think maybe all of the rules about how you can and can't hit a quarterback are almost causing it that they're getting hit worse. Like, you know what I mean? If you can't go for the head, you can't go for the legs, mm-hmm. you can't tackle and drop your body weight. I'm seeing a lot more like guys getting hit like right in the hips.
Yeah.
Like
and then their body whips back when they get hit the ground. And like, you know, you're seeing a lot more arms and shoulders, like them trying to catch themselves on yeah. these things where they're getting tackled, where they're being whipped to the ground so hard.
Yeah.
And clearly more concussions. Everybody's seeing that that's so I don't know. I think maybe it's almost like too many rules have made it where you can only hit certain ways. And those aren't maybe the best ways.
Like, 'cause you're running at full speed and you just can't be like, pause, rule book, how can I hit this guy? Give me 2 minutes to think about it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you're seeing a lot more like the arm across the hips where their body whips down, like, down with it.
Wasn't there a rumor that the NFL, after Logan Wilson hit Mark Andrews, that they're going to, I'm not sure if this is a rumor.
The hip drop tackle. Yeah.
But then basically, I mean, at that point, you're like, well, just don't tackle anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's like you can try to nerf the rules as much as you want, but you're still putting, like, alpha level super athletes on the field against each other, and they're just going at it. It's yeah. just like shit's gonna pop off if you got 250-pound dudes smashing into each other full tilt.
Yeah, especially when they have the incentive to do well
Yes.
Built into their making millions of dollars. Like, I mean, if, yeah. You can, that's what I'm saying. I think it might be almost overregulated in the way that certain things are done that's causing it to almost be worse in certain ways.
Yeah. It's also weird, too, watching this year the way. It's been a problem for a while, but the way we're now interpreting what holding is, and like having to watch this entire season with Myles Garrett being held on every play, it's insane. It's
same with Trey Hendrickson.
It's also the same with T.J. Watt too.
Yeah. Or even Sam Hubbard for that matter. Like, there's so many times I've watched, like, when he does it, you know, he's really good at cutting inside to get to the back.
Mm-hmm.
How many times he gets a arm just basically wrapped around his face while he's doing it, and
no call.
Yeah, so that's been a wild one. That's
one thing I've heard, is that holding pretty much occurs on every play.
100%. Oh, for sure. And for a while, there was always this kind of a gentleman's agreement of, like, as long as you're keeping it, like, within the numbers, and, like, you're not turning, like, you, like, if you're turning somebody, and then it's obvious we got to call the hold. But if, like, you're stacked straight up on some dude, and you're both kind of there, and you're run blocking or whatever, you can get away with the hold a little bit more. But,
like, you can, like, fucking have a guy by the shoulders and, like, block him like that, but you can't just, like, grab onto his jersey or grab onto his arm.
Yeah, you can't impede his movement. You can't adjust his direction with the hold.
Yeah, or you can't, like, grab him while, like, if he has you beat, like, you can't grab him.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's wild how inconsistent that is, but there's, I don't know how you make it better.
Yeah.
It's impossible to figure out. But speaking of impossible to figure out for us, we haven't even addressed this. The Bengals are out.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Yep. We are out of the play, because we needed, weird wording, but for the Bengals to be eliminated, the Bengals had to have lost and for Pittsburgh and Buffalo to have won. All three of those events occurred, and now the Bengals are out.
Yep.
However, if the Bengals win this weekend, they will have their third straight winning season, and it'll be the first time since 1935 that every team in a division finishes with a winning record.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, the AFC North is just a murderer's row.
It's insane. Just,
it's nuts. They have more wins than any other division in football.
By a good margin.
Yeah, it's like, it's four teams that just beat the dog piss out of each other all year long, and it's a pretty wild thing to be in. It's one of those things where I'm like, God, man, what would happen if we ended up going to, like, the NFC South or something like that? Or
Laying waste.
Yeah.
Yeah, just destroying teams.
And, I mean, honestly, I would like to see... I'm not going to lie. I'd like to see it change up, because I don't like the whole way that things just have. What's the point? What's the point of the divisions? I don't care. Whatever. Just get rid of all of it. Just make it everybody plays. Bop, 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 bop. Who cares if it's AFC?
It makes it better for organization.
I understand, but fucking you can. You have a computer program that you advertise all the time that can calculate a million things a second. It'll figure it the fuck out. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like. AFC, like, you classify AFC North football as, like, just gritty, rough, and tough, and, like, there was one hypothetical final score I thought of, like, just, like, these 16-10 ball games, and then I realized that was literally a Bengals-Steelers exact score.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. How do you guys feel about, so right now you guys are 0-5 in the division against the other team.
Yes. And 5-0 against the NFC.
Again, like, that's what I'm talking about here, where it's just like, oh my God, if you cut this division up and these four teams were allowed to go to other places and beat up on other people instead of themselves, what would this look like?
Yeah, you'd have it'd be a much more fun league, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Someone posed this in the Bengals group I run. I wonder if there's ever been a team to go winless in their division and undefeated against the other conference.
I don't know.
Because the last time the Bengals went 0-6 in their division was 2002. And that was the year the Bengals went 2-14. It was the year before they drafted Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
Which is insane to me. Other things before we move on to the Burns, because this has been a fun show.
Yeah.
It's a fun show so far. Hell Tank, yeah. Thank you for coming on.
Dude, thanks for having me. I'm always stoked to come and just chat with you guys and talk football.
And just
check your phone on the podcast,
because I got a texty text.
I know, we heard it.
Fuck you. So one thing that is, you guys are mean.
It's a podcast.
True.
Tank had his phone on there. We heard it vibrate. I looked at him. I nodded at his phone, and he set it down off the thing.
That's right. I got the nod of Lloyd, and I was like, oh, I better move this because he has way long arms and he can easily punch me from here. I'm within striking distance.
Yep. And my most recent notification was from Duolingo, so they can go fuck themselves. The big play has killed the Bengals because, like, on almost all the drives. That the Chiefs scored on, there was like a huge play. It was like a big run by Pacheco, big reception by Pacheco, one by Rashee Rice, one by Justin Watson. I think a punt return by who the fuck is our punt returner?
Some guy,
Richie James.
Sure,
he was like a fucking scrub from the Giants.
But no, I mean, I think it was a smart move on their part to try and exploit the back end of the secondary. I get what they were doing, and you know, again, you got two rookies back there, so
yeah.
You know, you're trying,
one second-year player who's technically a rookie.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was a good game plan on their part, and they I mean, you could see that they understood that they can't beat the defense straight up.
Yep.
So they attacked the weakest part, and that's why they had six field goals instead of six touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like the Bengals had all season have had the bend don't break mentality to their defense, where it's like they've given up the second most yards in the NFL.
Yeah.
But they're like mid-tier when it comes to scoring. It's because like their red zone defense is nuts and their turnover margin's like literally one of the best in the NFL.
So yeah, that's something I think they just Andy Reid understood his assignment.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there were plays where like Chidobe Awuzie was badly beaten, and I think Taylor Britt got badly beaten on a play.
Yeah, Awuzie, I think I have a thought. I think Awuzie might be still hurt somehow.
Yeah,
I think he like that wouldn't surprise me or something, and just is trying to, because he just seems a step slower, and then you'll see him on some plays where he's right there, but I think something's still lingering with him.
Yeah, but a couple more things. So I'm gonna ask this for the Bengals and the Browns. Tank, who do you want to see step up for your Browns in Week 18?
Well, it's kind of hard to say, man, just because of the whole who's starting and who's not with the Browns going into the playoffs. It's just like my main thing is I just don't want to see anybody get hurt. And I also just don't want to see anybody important, you know, get taken out. I'm feeling good. They've already announced that Myles Garrett is going to be resting.
OK.
But I want to make sure that we have a healthy JOK. I want to make sure that we have a healthy Denzel Ward.
Yep.
My fucking kingdom to get Grant Delpit back off of the injured reserve. You know, that's my big thing is I just don't want to see anybody come out of this game with an injury. I don't give a fuck if we get beat 99-0. I just want boys to come out of here healthy.
Yep. And for those of you who are wondering, JOK is Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
The man.
Yep. It took me a second. That's why I was just like, do you think they might know?
Best dressed dude in the NFL right now. If you follow the Browns on game day, he is always coming in like different like traditional African garb every game.
That rules.
Yeah. So definitely give him a follow. He's great to watch. And then of course just like Njoku, who is like started especially the second part of the season, has really broke out as one of the best tight ends in the league.
Yeah, he's been really good
and really showing a lot of personality. Like when the Browns beat the Jets, he's like running around, he's screaming in kids' faces, he's literally drinking beers out of the stands.
And Njoku is?
Yeah.
Oh, that rules.
Yeah. He was doing shots in the parking lot with the fucking fans.
What? Yeah. There's a video of him like he's taking shots in the like with fans that were still hanging out in the parking lot. Like,
oh, no way.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Yeah. And Njoku's a cool dude.
And I was going to say earlier, he's probably your guys' wide receiver too.
At this point, I mean, him and Flacco have really developed a great relationship with each other. And I think that kind of is what we're seeing now is Flacco's relationship with Cooper is there. His relationship with Njoku is there. And now it's starting to get Elijah Moore worked into a little bit more and Cedric Tillman getting in there about, you know, he's starting to spread the ball around, but he definitely knows where his like safety blanket guys are.
Do you think it's like a, where do you think the receivers stand with Deshaun? Not where you stand, like where the team stands. Because it seems like they
probably out of arm's reach.
from what I've heard about Deshaun, from like what people have said about him, is it's like no matter where he's at, he's a very much like a team culture guy, and he's all about like, hey, let's get together. Like he'll take the receiving core and they'll go on like vacations and stuff together. He's always working
places
with
where they don't have video cameras and massage parlors.
He has to hit up his boy Robert Kraft to figure out where those places are.
Or Haslam actually should know, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jimmy's got some secrets. He's got some skeletons.
You don't run truck stops like that without having some fucked up
right.
shit.
Yeah. He's like the pilot station guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
I do like a pilot station. Dude, that's where I got that fucking that T-shirt.
Yeah. They got me a T-shirt that said,
never argue with a trucker's wife.
And I wear it all the time.
It's the funny, dude, I wear mine. It's the funniest shit in the world. I'm like, dude, I got three of them. I got one for me, one for Lloyd, and one for Cy Amundsen.
Damn, that is a sick T-shirt.
It's so fun. And also, I told Lloyd, the funniest part about that, I think it's because like it's a shirt marketed for women. Large was the smallest size they had.
Hell yeah.
In rule.
That's fantastic.
Men's large is their women's small. Perfect.
That's a truck stop for you.
That's truck stop light, brother.
They went up to like 3X on the shirts. I was like, whoa.
Oh, they only had them in little ones? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were only in Ohio, not Oklahoma.
Yeah. Some beefy prods down south.
Yeah.
Well, what about you guys, man? Who do you let me flip the question your way. Who do you want to see step up on the Bengals side?
Okay, so I actually wrote like a whole ass article about this. Oh. There's a few players.
That's why he asked the question.
One is our first round pick from this year, Miles Murphy.
Okay.
Because like Murphy's been like he's been okay this year, but like there hasn't like he's like an edge rusher, and it doesn't seem like there's like a whole lot of opportunities for him to like really step up and get like consistent playing time because like you have like Hendrickson on one side, Hubbard on the other. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem like there's a ton of time for him to play. He's had a few sacks. He's done okay when he's played. And it seems like he's like it like when I watch him in interviews, like he's mentally there. Like it seems like he's progressed as the year's gone on.
Yeah, I mean there's a reason they picked him first round. And I honestly in this game just let him play the whole fucking time. Just let him go. Like, you know, I mean, as much as would make sense.
Well, also, Sam Hubbard just revealed that he needs offseason surgery. He didn't even say what the surgery was. He's like, yeah, I need surgery.
Yeah, so just.
But Sam's like, no, I want to be there with my guys. I'm like, honestly, just like, give Miles Murphy a full fucking game.
Yeah.
Yeah. See what you got.
Yeah.
Get that experience.
I want to see them use Yoshivas more, Charlie Brown more.
Same. But Charlie Brown?
Charlie Brown? What the fuck am I?
Well, hopefully he's not the kicker.
Had a rough couple days, guys. I'm literally sitting here sweating from pain, so.
Yeah, yeah, the fucking needles in your back.
My brain's not as sharp as it should be. Fucking Brown. I mixed Charlie Jones and.
Charlie Brown. You mixed up Charlie Jones and Chase Brown?
Yeah.
Man, I hope it's...
My brain just mushed it together and spit it all out at one time.
Sometimes it feels like the play caller is Charlie Brown's teacher.
Yeah.
All right, guys, on offense, I womp, 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 womp. Who else do I want to see? I also want to see, like... So, like, they talked about the communication issues between Jordan Battle and, like, Daxel and the rest of the secondary. I want to see them, like, actually, like, spend a week, like, working on that shit. Like, because they know it's a problem.
Yeah.
Because like the secondary is like they've invested like heavy draft capital in the secondary.
Yeah.
And I think it's like there's a lot of potential, but like right now it's very young and inexperienced.
Which again, the only way you can get that is that, you know, play them the whole time.
Yep.
Friend of the pod, my buddy Mick, he was saying like it's growing pains. So hopefully that's what it is, which will lead to one of our star cornerbacks becoming a crazy Christian in 20 years and releasing terrible movies.
No.
Do you get what I'm referencing? Yeah. Kirk Cameron's a fucking psycho.
It's true. But and I think you guys are bringing up a good point here, because I think that there is something to be said about the difference of the speed of the pro game and the college game, and you have to just get those reps in the pro game to get used to what that speed is.
Well, I mean, being able to cut an angle because you're faster than everybody, you learn that when people are as fast as you, you have to make your angles different. You have to, you know, box out different. It's just learning.
It's like I've said for years, like the Bengals learned this lesson hard with one of our players, but like when NFL teams like gush over a player's 40 time. Mm-hmm. It's like, what other qualities do you have? Like, when you're like John Ross.
Yeah.
Like, when you run a 4.22, like, it's much easier to be a dominant receiver because, like, you're, like, when a, like, so John Ross, you know who his quarterback was in college?
No.
It was Jake Browning.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was fucking insane. But, like, when you're a guy with that big of speed, when you're 10 yards past like the defensive back because you're so fucking fast.
You don't have to run a good route.
No, you can just fucking zip on by him, catch the most uncontested catch of all time, and then just it's so easy for you to dominate. When you get to the pros where you have go against guys like DJ Turner who runs like a when you have guys who are as fast as you are and who can keep up, life's not going to be as easy.
Nope.
Yeah, no, it's definitely one of those things where you just don't have the cheat code of I'm just physically better than you.
Yeah.
Whereas now everybody is pretty equal on the pro level. Of course, you have your unicorns like your Tyreek Hills out there.
Yeah.
But it's a much rarer thing to see in the landscape as opposed to on the college level, where if you're really good, you stand out. And on the pros, it's not like that. It's like, okay, cool. You can run a 4.2 40. Okay, now can you replicate that when you got linebackers that are trying to hit you in the stomach and kill you? Like, can you do that? And what's your route running look like? Like, are you somebody who actually can make cuts and hit angles? Or are you a guy that a DB can just play a couple yards back off of and then just completely follow you on the route and guard you the entire time?
Like, I look at I have a buddy who's a Seahawks fan, and I asked him, how is DK Metcalf not the best receiver in the NFL? Because he's in better shape than it seems like almost anybody in the league.
He is mentally immature.
That's what it seems like. That's what it is. But like when you're in better shape than anyone and things are going your way, like you're going to produce.
Yeah. If I was every defensive coordinator that schemed against him, I would just be like, I would tell my DBs, I'm like, just talk shit to this guy all game. He is mentally deficient. He is going to break under any kind of pressure. Just fuck with him. Head games, whole game.
Yeah. Did you see the there was a Seahawks Bengals game this year where like Cam Taylor Britt just fucking had his number the entire game. And there was one player with DK Metcalf, like unprompted, just shoved him the fuck to the ground.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He's a moody little little fella.
Yeah.
But when things go as well, like there are games where DK Metcalf's incredible.
He's unstoppable when he's on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when he's on and he's producing, he's great, but he just has to be in that headspace. And he's a guy that just is very, very weak when it comes to how he lets other people influence what he will and won't do in a game.
Like I look at, I think a good example of an all around wide receiver one, like a veteran, is Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
I think of him as like, he doesn't really seem like he has any true weaknesses to his game. Would I be correct?
It's hard to pick one out. I mean, the dude catches everything. He's incredibly intelligent in his route running.
Yep.
And he's got an attitude that you can't ask for anything better. I mean, he's just there to do his job, to get in, get out.
I love guys like that.
And that's one of the things too, when people are like, oh, how can you still cheer for the Browns because of Deshaun? I'm like, because of dudes like Amari Cooper and Nick Chubb, who are like some of the greatest dudes on the planet. It's like, I can't root against them.
Like there was when the Browns played the Bengals in week one, when Deshaun had that rushing touchdown and he did that guitar strum to the crowd. I was just looking at like, I mean, I know it's against the Bengals, which is going to make me sound a little biased, but when he did that guitar, so I'm like, you're really a piece of shit, aren't you?
And corny. He's corny.
He is corny. Yeah. He's a dork. And yeah, he's a sex pest. It's like, there's not a lot of redeeming qualities.
He's a dork with cum crimes.
Yeah.
I mean, so is Bill Clinton, so is Jeffrey Epstein, so is Trump.
Okay, but they are not on the fucking Browns.
That's true.
Yeah, they're on the...
That's true. I don't want Bill Clinton on the Browns.
All right, let's roast him.
We're running a little long here, but dude, like it's because I've enjoyed the discussion with you guys.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. It's just...
Let's Steelers are up 7-0 on the Browns.
Or on the
Ravens.
Ravens are up on the Steelers.
And I needed an Najee Harris anytime touchdown. So. Yep. I've had a couple huge parlays hit this year.
I was gonna say, are you one of those guys? Have you been taken by the seductive nature of betting?
I've won 350 on 25, and I've won 400 on 15.
Nice.
Would that be what you went to?
Gambling?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, dude. I mean, I know I've done two episodes already, but fucking.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to talk about here.
Oh yeah.
I'm up like 700 total on fights.
Really?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, sports gambling's hot right now, guys.
Do you do FanDuel, Lloyd?
Yeah, I do DraftKings because I have better like setup for fights.
Would you do FanDuel too?
I have, yeah.
I'll send you my invite code if you haven't registered yet.
I already have.
Fuck. But with that aside, Lloyd,
Alex,
Tank,
Shoops,
you want to take down these fucking Browns? Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, it's okay, man. You got to roast the ones you love.
So this is going to be short. It's an old Anthony Jeselnik quote. We are going to start with the owner, Jimmy Haslam.
He looks like if Max Headroom was born with trust fund.
Okay.
Jimmy Haslam looks like a guy who vacations alone in Thailand yearly.
Jimmy Haslam looks like a real estate agent who only sells houses that have been the sites of a murder.
He looks like he only sells massage parlors that have been the site of Deshaun's.
He looks like the owner of all those massage parlors.
That's, he probably is now.
That's how he got Deshaun. He was like, look, I can tell you where the finest lot lizards are in any
like he probably he probably runs Rub Maps.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Haslam, the CEO of Rub Maps.
That would be a good app.
It is an app.
It is?
Rub Maps.
All right, I think we're going to have to cut this episode short. I'm going to have to go download an app. The GM, Andrew Berry.
I got nothing but good things to say about this man, sorry.
Other than the fact that he has a very big mouth, so. I think I've used that joke before. Kevin Stefanski.
He looks like he's still mad because he found out his cousin was gay when he was 14.
He's still looking to be an NFL coach. I don't like when I yell, fuck this guy. My wife responds gladly. It's not good.
Even though the lazy eye is really off-putting.
Oh, yeah.
You ever notice the lazy eye?
How can you not?
I mean, it's staring right at me.
It is.
Which one?
Exactly.
He's looking at me and Tank very intensely right now.
He's got one eye on the field and one eye on Deshaun to make sure he's not trying to hit on any sideline reporters.
Hey, Deshaun.
Hey.
Those are our cheerleaders. We talked about this.
We talked about this, Deshaun.
Wait, do they have cheerleaders?
I don't think so.
There are a few organizations that don't have cheerleaders.
I mean,
I don't think the Steelers do. Because there's no attractive women in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of, I mean, we're the Midwest, you know.
Oh, boy.
Don't worry about
it. Is there a Bengal under 40?
Yeah.
Is there? Okay.
I actually used to know one.
No one?
Like, no. Like you are a friend. The Buffalo Bills, Chicago Bears, Cleveland Browns, Green Bay Packers, Chargers, Giants, and Steelers all don't have cheerleaders.
Interesting. I do feel bad for those ladies, man, because like the places that have them, they don't get paid shit.
They don't.
It's a rough fucking gig.
And you got to be in like tip top shape to do it.
Yeah, you got to be, and not to mention like you're getting taken on, like if you do go on the road, now you got to deal with that, and then I couldn't imagine cheerleading in fucking Cincinnati in December.
Yeah.
I also have, on more than one occasion, I have watched older men videotape the cheerleaders. On more than one occasion.
Yeah.
That's a wild thing that I don't know. That might be a...
We could probably just get rid of that.
I feel like with the boomers, it might be going out with them. Yeah, yeah.
It's the one time they know how to use technology.
Yeah. Yeah, I got this at the game. It's like, all right, Dad, come on, fuck, man.
You can kind of see the outline if you look real close.
Get right in there.
Kevin Stefanski is a prime candidate for 2023 Coach of the Year, primarily because he was the coach who oversaw Deshaun Watson's season-ending injury.
Not against this idea.
Yes. We are going to move on to those quarterbacks, starting with Cody Kessler. Oh, I'm sorry. All journeyman backup quarterbacks look alike to me.
Wasn't he the youngest one on Malcolm in the Middle?
I think so. He was Dewey.
Yeah.
What do you have on Jeff Driskel?
He looks
former
like a
Bengal.
He looks like a man that wears condoms when he jacks off.
You don't?
He
has a wife.
Yeah.
Fair.
Talk about this.
That's what they're for.
And also, I made an executive decision before the podcast. We are going to roast this guy, Joe Flacco.
He looks like Aaron Mr. Rogers.
Okay. What do you got?
He's old.
What do
you got? Looks like Aaron
you
Rogers.
Have anything on old Tank?
Oh,
I got a couple.
You got throw them out there. What you got?
Joe Flacco is aiming to play two more seasons in the NFL, which coincidentally is the average NFL lifespan of a Cleveland Browns quarterback.
It's true. It's true.
Yep. Right.
And he also looks like he got the job because of nepotism. He looks like Stefanski. I think that's it.
Right.
This week it's not going to be Chubb. It's not going to be Jerome Ford. It's not going to be Kareem Hunt. You know who is it going to be? Tank.
Pierre Strong.
P. Pierre Strong, I can't get behind Pierre Strong since he sounds like a guy who talks in third person when he works out. Pierre Strong.
I was going to make a Strong Mad reference, but that was...
Oh, Strong Bad?
Yeah.
Oh, I used to watch Homestar.
Strong Mad, the big one.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Strong Bad from Homestar Runner.
I am, but there's Strong Bad, then there's Strong Mad. There's
okay.
The whole Strong family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Consummate V's.
Burninating the countryside. Yep. Sorry.
Did you used to watch Homestar Runner ever?
Yeah.
Dude, so this is like, you want to hear a super autism thing?
Oh, yeah. If that's how you tee this up, 100%.
Yes. So the only video I watched from Homestar, I watched it incessantly, was the intro video to Homestar Runner, which was admittedly very funny.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I never watched any of the rest of the website. I just watched the intro video because I thought it was so fucking funny.
I love the Strong Bad emails.
Yeah, those are great.
I need to binge that.
The kids book.
I hope it's from, checking my emails. I hope it's from a female.
Yeah, those are funny.
And Cedric Tillman.
I don't have anything.
Do you have anything on old Cedric?
This man underperforms worse than my dick after a day on the bourbon trail.
Dude, Cedric Tillman, I need to go easy on Cedric. He's been having a hard time ever since Cat Williams roasted him on Shannon Sharp's podcast. That's kind of all I got on him. And James Prochet. I don't really have a joke about James Prochet, but just kind of a simple observation that I've had about several players. Like, you know that kind of player that like barely gets any play time, and then when you see how old they are, like kind of shocks you.
Mm-hmm.
That's James Pro. He's 27.
Yeah, I did the same thing to you. I checked his Wikipedia page, and him getting COVID is like one of his career highlights. Like, this man has just done nothing.
He was a wide receiver drafted by the Ravens, which is a death sentence in itself. But they've had like Devin Duvernay was like a third round pick.
Really?
I know. Rashad Bateman was a first-round pick.
Oof.
Dude, their draft needs is, like, wide receivers number one, like, every fucking
every year.
Yeah. It's insane.
That's how you end up with fucking OBJ.
Yep.
It's true.
100%. And a washed-up OBJ who is occasionally still performs, but...
Every once in a while, he does something.
Kind of like my dick.
Yeah. Every now and again.
I don't like mine, too. Who knew? And finally, Harrison Bryant. Do you have anything on old Harrison Bryant?
He looks like the alpha version of every dude in a comment section that says, let's wait until they release the rest of the tape.
He looks like somebody, like you saw that movie Ted where he wished on a teddy bear. Somebody did that with a Ken doll.
Harrison Bryant looks like this is a throwback burn. Harrison Bryant looks like he gained all his confidence as a child by taking pictures of the Hooters waitresses. And I know that because he actually did.
Yep.
Yeah, look at that kid. Oh,
that
man.
Is Harrison Bryant.
Wow.
He was not playing tight end in grade school. That's an OT if I've ever seen
one. No, he saw those tight ends and he was like, I want to be that.
Yeah, he's like,
I want to turn them into wide receivers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right after this picture, this man got on a diet.
Oh man, that's so fun. Oh, that's got to be like the. It's like it looks like what 14 in that picture.
If that, yeah.
That's got to make that's got to be like that kid's highlight of his childhood.
Yeah.
Oh, king of junior high right there.
Oh yeah, dude. But how many? Also, how many of those girls do you think were his teacher at one point?
at that point.
Now I just want Harrison Bryant to go out and find these four Hooters waitresses and try to recreate this picture in 2024.
Dude!
That would be awesome.
That'd be so fun.
Where are they now, Hooters edition?
But we all know they're dead by a motel somewhere.
That'd be so awkward. If, like, they can only get three of them in one, you know.
Yeah, you know where, you know what happened.
You know what happened.
No, I think, well, some of them they're on OnlyFans, so they can afford hotels now.
Oh.
Yeah. But honestly... Tank and Lloyd.
Shoops.
I think we got him pretty good.
Yeah.
Got their ass.
Predictions and bullshit. Dude, this is, it's going to be, I mean, there's no stakes in this game at all. It's just like, they're just, it's more of a formality at this point.
Looks like a big hunk of meat.
No, it's, there's no stakes in this game, so it's like, who gives a shit?
I'm trying to Alex joke you, it's fine.
He's like a hunk of meat.
Like a steak.
Oh,
there's no stakes in this game.
Oh, okay. You know, Lloyd, there's a reason that Alex jokes. There's a reason that my name is in it and not yours.
Yeah, 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 I know.
But honestly, man, there's no, I don't want to say stakes anymore, because then you're going to make another stupid ass Alex joke.
There's no stakes in this game, so.
I'm going to say Bengals 20, I'm going to say Bengals 27, Browns 16. Do you think the Browns pull it off? And
no,
does it really matter?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
It doesn't matter.
I think the Bengals get their first win in the division this season. They end up going 1-5 in the AFC North, because the Browns are going to sit pretty much anybody that's good. And the problem is this team is so fucking banged up. Like, there really isn't much depth behind who we got starting now.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's just like, who are we putting out on the field, man? I mean, we're starting our fifth different quarterback of the year. Like, what's happening?
And the thing is,
Waterboy's playing wideout.
A crazy stat, though, is like all four of the quarterbacks that have started for the Browns this year have won at least one game.
Which is insane.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Defense wins games.
Defense does win games, and that's one thing the Browns do have this season that's showing up on a regular basis, which is, again, a great comforting thing to have.
Lloyd, what's your prediction?
I think Bengals will probably pull it off. It'll be an uninspired game all the way around. It'll be very, like, all right.
I'm going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'll say, like, maybe 24-17, something.
Okay. Just kind of like this is kind of like just a who gives a shit game.
Yeah.
But also, I'm going to make a bold prediction. Bengals 2024-2025 Super Bowl champions.
Damn. All right. I didn't know we were ending like this.
Let's go.
So my thought is, like, the Bengals, they're beating a Browns practice squad team. No offense. You know what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, if they beat the Browns, they'll have a winning record in the NFL while only having their franchise quarterback healthy for five games.
That's true.
Which is insane. They've also lost DJ Reader for the year. They lost Chase for a few games. They lost, or actually just one game, but they lost Higgins for a handful of time. They've lost, who else have they lost? They lost Cam Taylor-Britt.
Everybody.
It seems like they've lost so many players, and the fact that they're still 9-8 against a really tough schedule is
the toughest schedule.
It's very impressive.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, they're better than what they look, but my bold prediction is Trey Hendrickson is still going to sack Joe Flacco, but it's going to be on the sideline.
Ooh, okay.
Just take him out?
Yeah, he's just going to look over like, stop looking at my wife that way. It's like, your wife isn't here. I don't know who she is. What are you doing? Trey's just like, fuck you. That's just my bold prediction. I'm just.
Tank, what's your bold prediction?
My bold prediction of the week is I think that Myles Garrett, for some reason, will just go full Jurassic Park on the sidelines and will come cosplay as Dr. Grant.
Ooh.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think my bold prediction is that Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. I just like saying that name. So fun.
It's a great name.
It's such a fun name to have.
It's a fun name. Say it some more.
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa.
It doesn't get old. Or J-O-K.
J-O-K.
Also a great name.
Jock.
What if his name was...
J-O-K?
Jock.
Jock.
All right, we're ending this episode on an Alex joke before plugs. I think Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa jumps so high in the air that he changes his name to Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, which makes his new nickname A-OK.
God damn it.
Damn, that was good. All I got to give it to him.
Yeah, it was good.
I wasn't sure where that thing was going, and it finally hit, and I was like, oh, damn.
That's like when a batted-up pass ends up getting to the receiver still. It worked. It worked, but it was wobbly.
It's like the Ravens, when the Ravens-Bengals game from like 10 years ago, when like Andy Dalton threw a Hail Mary, and their defensive back just tipped it in the air, and A.J. Green's like, oh, this is the easiest pass to catch in the world.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. It's not very often in the middle of a joke I make this face.
Huh? Especially one that like gets a laugh.
But it got there.
Yeah, we got there. 100% got
there. I think that's a lot of my jokes right now. And I told my mom, I'm working on a story about how I went to the DeMar Hamlin game, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, about how I was absolutely trashed when it happened.
That's going to be a weird sobering moment.
Yeah, I've never gone from like... I've never gone from sober to white girl wasted to sober that quickly in my life.
Yeah, that's got to be a huge buzzkill to see a guy die.
Yeah, but we've gone long. But, dude, this has been a fun season, all things considered.
Yeah.
It was a labor of love.
A lot of labor.
But, but one more thing before we leave. Oh, not him.
Oh.
Sorry. That's an old slideshow. My bad. Tank, what are your plugs?
Oh, go check out my podcast, What You Into. You can find it wherever you get podcasts at. And currently I'm starting to backload the old catalog onto YouTube. So it's going to take a while, but it's going to get there. Over 150 episodes. Each one is on a different hobby or fandom or collection. Every episode's evergreen. So just jump in wherever you want, whatever you find interesting.
Yeah, dude. It's like there's so many topics. Like me and one of my longtime friends, Alex, we did an episode on like Nintendo games and like
Mario. Yeah, we did a whole episode on Mario.
It was so fucking fun. And he knew, my buddy Alex knows fucking everything.
Indeed.
And like I knew like some things, but like he just blew me away.
Yeah, 100%.
But, and Lloyd and I also did an old NFL episode.
Indeed, you did.
Have you guys done more NFL episodes besides fantasy football?
I have not. No, the fantasy football one I'm dropping this weekend is the first one I've done in a while.
Yeah.
So check that out. Also, one of my favorite episodes ever was you and Blake coming on.
That was fantastic.
And doing MMA.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're an MMA fan, go back and find that episode. It's great.
Dude, so like how many times on that podcast have you like done topics that you have like really no invested interest in?
Oh, I mean, I don't know about invested interest, but as far as like stuff that I don't know what it is, a number of times. I recently episode with a woman who she's into racing electronic unicycles, and she's also into what are those things called, like power boards or whatever. It's the big wheel in the center, and then you kind it's like a skateboard.
Okay.
Yeah, I got no clue how any of this shit works, and I'm just like, tell me everything.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, oh yeah, she's like, we go to like Arkansas and race them on mountain bike trails. It's like, all right, cool. I had no clue this existed at all. You know, and just getting to find out about weird shit like that, it's great.
Lloyd, that's fucking awesome, dude.
January 26th is Pine Violence Show at Chameleon, 9 p.m. Phil Pointer will be headlining that one.
Ooh.
That'll be a fun show.
Absolutely.
And
check out Pine Violence on Instagram, all that stuff. You know.
Yep, and you can see the video of Lloyd getting engaged.
That's true, you can.
Ooh.
And I actually, I've had a lot of shows recently, but I've been like so busy with those, I forgot to fill my show schedule. So I only have one upcoming show right now. It is on February 8th. I am doing Shut the Fuck Up Columbus.
Nice.
Cool.
Which is Don't Tell Columbus. But all that aside, dude, again, sorry, Lloyd, sorry we went long. I know you're...
That's fine.
But Tank, thank you for coming on, dude.
Yes, thank you so much. I always appreciate when you have me on the show.
Dude, I always enjoy just like pod talking to you. I think have you done this? I don't think you've done this pod before.
I did it last year with Billy.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yep.
There's been so many episodes.
And dude, you say so many.
Yeah. But all that aside, Tank and Lloyd, we only have one thing left to say.
Fuck you, Cleveland Browns. We like the Bengals.
Wow, man.
Fuck you. We like the Bengals.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.